Welcome to the Pro Cheerleading Podcast. This is the only podcast that gives you a raw and unfiltered perspective of what it's really like to be a professional cheerleader. Whether you're currently on a pro team, an alumni, or really curious about what it takes to become a pro cheerleader, the Pro Cheerleading Podcast gives you all the inside scoop and hot topics in the pro cheerleading industry and in-depth interviews of current and former cheerleaders. I'm your host, Makiba. Join me every Wednesday as I reveal the truth behind the palms. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cheer Chat. Happy Friday. Happy Friday. It's been a week. I know it's not Wednesday, but who cares? It's Rosé Day. I hope you guys have had a wonderful week. It's been trying with work lately, you guys. I don't know. I thought Mercury was in retrograde just because of how crazy it was been, but you know, it's messing up my feng shui with going live on Wednesday, so just bear with me. It might be a Wednesday, it might be a Thursday, it might be a Friday, but you might be getting ready to do something fun. I hope you are. I have a nice big pour of rosé, and I'm ready to talk all about the last few episodes of, hey, cheers to you. I want to talk America's Sweethearts. Okay, I only had one sip, but here we go already. I want to talk about America's Sweethearts. I watched the rest of the series, and I just was so caught up in my feelings, you guys, that I actually like needed to process, you know. And then I kind of went down a little bit of a rabbit hole of looking at commentary, like on Netflix's page, and then on like Instagram, and then looking at the DCC posts and seeing what everybody was saying. And so then I was like, wait, I'm getting caught up in what other people think. I need to figure out what I have to say. And so yes, I want us to all just have like a group chat about the series. I want to know how it touched you. I have so many feelings, and I wrote notes, but it's just going to be a little bit all over the place. Let's just talk about it together. I will try to pay attention to comments here, and let's get into it, because it was so okay. Let's just get into it. I'm going to take a nice sip, grab something, take a sip. Again, happy Friday, all that good stuff. Somebody says, I haven't seen it. I feel like it needs to be a moment. Yes, let's talk about it. How can you, I said it the last time, I can't digest like a whole binge of it. Like I watched the first three episodes and I really wanted to process it. And so I was just kind of like, I can't just keep watching as much as I wanted to. I really was like, I want to really digest what I saw. And I also want to look at it and analyze it from a couple different perspectives, right? Because we lived it. Most of us have lived, you know, this life cheering for pro teams or dancing on pro teams. And so I'm sure it brought back so many different feelings. But then I was thinking about, for people who don't really know what our world is like, how they would see some of the, you know, some of the scenes that we saw and how they would take that in. So I overanalyze my behind off. I know that that's how I get down. But I really, really, really want to hear from you guys, like what you were feeling and thinking, like what, because it brings up a lot, like so much of the experience we can relate to. And man, okay, so we're just gonna get into it in no particular order, but hit me some like comments if there's things you want me to touch on, if I forgot something. Somebody said I need to get a sip of something. Yes, go grab a drink. I would say break it up in doses, though. If you're thinking of watching it, don't watch it in one big swoop. You gotta kind of, I think, break it up at least two little binge sessions, right? Because it's a lot to take in. So let's just talk about it, like I said, in no particular order. So, you know, they have the people that they featured, right, throughout the series. And Victoria is a hot topic. So let's just start with Victoria, okay? I don't have all her stats in terms of, like, I think she did 4 years. She decided not to go back for a fifth year. And they really focus on her a lot because she had, like, a very real, she comes across super personably, and people seem to connect with her a lot. It's all up in the comments. Everybody was Victoria, Victoria, Victoria. And I have just thoughts and notes about just what I saw on the show, and I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts too. Oh, you're watching episode 2 right now. Okay, don't let me spoil it for you. Do not let me spoil it for you. You might have to come back later. I agree. I feel like I have to keep pausing to take a break. Yes, it's a lot to consume. So, well, I'm going to spoil it for you, I guess, Tiffany. Sorry about that. But let's get into it, you guys, because Victoria, the big storyline on her, I'm sure you guys all know, but just for people who may not know, her mother is a former DCC, and it was a lot shown in the episode about, or throughout the series, about her relationship with her mother, obviously being born into this. Like, she grew up with Kelly and Judy. Like, this is something that she's always wanted and dreamed of. Her mom was, you know, their whole house is all DC'd out. Like, it's just, it's crazy. Yes, come back later, Tiffany. You know, I was thinking about just like this whole legacy thing, right? Because it's a big deal. We didn't have that many legacy cheerleaders. I don't know, I think about it for Seahawks. There was one whose mother was a Seagull back in the day. But just thinking about kind of like the how big that dream would be. Like, we've all had dreams of making these teams. But obviously, if your parent did it, your sister did it. There's another girl in the series whose sister, you know, tried out for the squad as she was retiring. So this whole concept of, like, you know, your siblings doing it or coming into, like, knowing what it's supposed to be and obviously really, really wanting the dream that much more because you actually kind of have a feeling for what it's like. But here's some of the things that stuck out with me about Victoria, and I'm going to take a little sip. And you guys put in the chat, like, what you think about Victoria, too, because she's definitely, like, a focal point of the series. Okay. So the part that really caught me a little off guard about Victoria, and it's little nuances. I get editing with shows and whatnot, but it just seemed like she just seemed like she felt really lonely as part of the team, right? She's in with this group of women who are her sisters. There's this DCC alumni, and there's so many people surrounding her, I feel like, with a lot of love and openness and acceptance. But, like, did you guys notice that, like, they would have scenes where Victoria would kind of be in the locker room, or she'd, like, walk up to people and then they kind of, like, walked away? Or maybe that's editing, I don't know, but it just seemed like she was speaking about even feeling loneliness in her own family, which I thought was interesting too. And I was like, what is going on with that? And then I had to take a step back and think about it, right? Because this is truth behind the palms, keep it real, all the things. Like, sometimes it really truly is a sisterhood and there really is, like, that bond. But there are times, I think, where people maybe just don't find their footing of where they fit in, or they could be that, I'm not saying Victoria is any of this, right? But, like, maybe, just maybe, there are certain people who are going through things or experiencing difficulties on the squad in terms of connecting with other girls. Like, I know that Kelly and Judy were talking about her potential to be a squad leader and, like, nobody had voted for her, or, like, you know, that there just seemed to be a disconnect. And so I was really puzzled by this. Like, how is she, like, such a hit with everybody who's watching the show, and then it didn't seem like she was, like, a hit within her own squad? Y'all let me know what you think. Hold on, there's a comment here in YouTube land. How are you, a new subscriber? I enjoy your interview with Chrissia Long. Hey, thanks for watching. Chrissia is the bomb, you guys. I know I'm all over the place, but I wanted to respond to that. Chrissia is amazing, and I'm so glad that you listened. Yay. So, yeah, we're talking about all this stuff. Okay, so, hey, I'm so happy to see you guys. Maybe Friday needs to be my new day. Definitely something deeper. Can't put a finger on it with Victoria, right? So, as I was, like, thinking about her, and I mean, there's a lot of commentary out there about, like, you know, just the bond between her and her mother, and maybe her mother kind of, like, contributing to her pressure, or, you know, just this, she clearly is struggling with self-esteem, right? And I think that people were critical of her relationship with her daughter, that it was, like, they were too close and all of these different things. And I'm not here to do that. I think it's very natural to have your parent as your best friend. I don't know if my daughter feels that way about me, but I was thinking, like, even if there was just an unspoken pressure to live up to that expectation, right, where, you know, her mom knows how bad she wants it, she's obviously doing everything she can to help her fulfill that dream, you could tell that she's trying to reinforce, like, positive messages within her. And it was just heartbreaking to kind of see, how do I want to say this, it's like, I know that Victoria kind of claimed, like, I am a positive, like, what is it, words of affirmation person. Like, she really responds well to affirmations. And, you know, she had post-its all over the place. And I think that's all good and gravy. You could tell there's just different people need different things for a sense of validation. And, you know, I was thinking, like, how much does she truly, like, believe what she's, you know, written down because of, like, the things that she was just struggling with. And maybe having reminders is something that helps push her along. But it was heartbreaking to kind of watch her getting feedback from, I believe it was Kelsey, like towards the last episode, kind of saying that like once you aren't really looking for validation and you kind of know for yourself and you believe in yourself, that's when the whole experience becomes a little less stressful, because you're just kind of, you're owning yourself and you kind of know what you bring to the table and you're not worried about anybody. And I was like, yes, Kelsey, that's what I'm talking about. Like really feel just these positive messages that are coming to you. And I remember the way that it panned to Victoria's face, and it just seemed like she was like listening, but kind of like, I still don't believe you. You know what I mean? And it just was kind of like, dang, heartbreaking, because I wanted it. I felt like if she did come back for year five and she really absorbed and owned her worth, and that she didn't have to kind of keep proving herself or just not feeling good enough, that it really would have come together. And my heart was just a little like, ugh. But then when she didn't come back, like, I don't know if you guys were relieved for her or not, but I think she does need that time off the team to really kind of like figure out who she is without DCC, right? I mean, we all know. Well, I don't want to speak for everybody. I'm going to speak for myself, and I'm going to take a drink. Let's just keep it real. There are people on our teams, or have been people on our teams, where their identity gets lost in being that professional cheerleader. Like, it happens. We get sucked into the, hey, cheers, Natalie, I can't wait to see you in a couple of weeks. I just think that like it's really easy to get caught up in the sauce, right? Where your world gets consumed with being a professional cheerleader. And yes, it becomes our life. But I think for those that really just get completely swooped in, it's almost like they lose themselves so much so that they don't really have like all of their self-esteem and self-worth is caught up in being on that team. And so for any reason, whether you retire, whether you're cut, all of these things, if you don't have that sense of self, of who you are and appreciation for who you are when you're not on a team, it makes it so, so much harder to be on the squad and be happy, right? And if you know what it's like, if somebody is just constantly seeking validation or, you know, approval, and it gets draining for people, right? Like, you kind of like, dang, girl, I told you you were fine, you're great, you're not fat, you look good. Like, you can't keep doing that over and over again for somebody and not feel like it kind of like makes people maybe isolate themselves from you a little bit. And I'm not saying that this is what was going on. I'm sure they all love each other. That doesn't mean you don't love the person. It just means that becomes a lot to maintain, especially when it's not really soaking in. And I kind of felt like it, as much love as her squad, her teammates had for her, as much love as the director and choreographer had for her, like they were trying to tell her with love, like, you know, not don't come back, but it just felt like they were trying to communicate that, like, it would be hard for you to make the team again and to kind of have the outcome that you want. And one thing I wanted to like ask you guys or feel out was just how many of you guys like hold out auditioning year after year after year because you're waiting for the opportunity to be a squad leader or the chance to go to Pro Bowl? Like, I think that's a real thing that some people just will go through the whole audition process, even if they feel like they're done, even if their heart's not in it, because they're expecting or really, really wanting that leadership title. And I was just proud of Victoria that was not the only reason, basically, that she decided to come back, was because she wanted to be a group leader. Okay, we got comments all over the place. I'm so sorry. Let me stop talking. Happy Friday. I think the issue was Victoria's entire life was DCC. The ultimate goal was DCC, and this was what she imagined was the peak of her life. Yeah. And you guys, what do you guys even think about that? Like, I mean, I'm well past my years as a professional cheerleader. And when I think about like my life and just that life definitely keeps on going after you are a cheerleader, like, do you guys want this to be the ultimate peak of your existence and your life in general? Or is it kind of like, this is a great achievement, but that you have your heart, your eyes set on other things once it's over, right? Because there will never be anything like this experience. And I feel like the DCC, like this Netflix show, really showed how crazy this experience is for us and how there's just nothing that can beat it. Like, what are you going to do with your life that's better than dancing with freaking Dolly Parton? Like, I don't think it's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like, or going to the Super Bowl, or these are moments that are just, you can't recreate, and your life is going to give you other fruitful things. But I agree with what you're saying. It's just kind of like, but do you know that if you look at this as the big kahuna, the pinnacle of where you go with your life, that you're going to just like crash and burn when it's over? You know what I mean? That's, I guess, what I'm getting at. We have to kind of reframe how we're looking at these most precious, treasured years of us on a team, because it just makes the decision of stepping away, retiring, all of the things that much harder, especially if your identity is caught up in it. What are people saying? Hold on, hold please. In my dream world, she would do Rockettes and continue to grow as a dancer because it's truly her passion. It's true, they all want a goal to work towards after 2 seasons. Interesting. So, I mean, that's really interesting. I mean, you have your rookie year. You want to come back stronger and better after your rookie year to kind of show that you've improved, that you're a vet now, that you can be looked at as that. Is it a sense of entitlement that people have around like leadership roles where it's kind of like, okay, I'm back and I should be selected as captain? Like, if that's a good goal, I guess, to have, but I'm just trying to understand like what's the real expectation of when a leadership role really should kind of come into play as a realistic goal? I think I view leadership maybe a little differently, where it's like, it's not something that, I don't want to say it's not something that you strive towards, but it's more that you have earned the respect of everybody to look at you as a leader and for people to kind of recognize those leadership qualities of you, and for it to just be something that they kind of like grant to you versus like, I earn this and I deserve this. I'm a third year, I'm a fourth year, I should have this kind of a thing. And I liked that in the show. It seemed like the director, I keep saying the director, Kelly and Judy seemed to think like, who do the dancers look towards for guidance and kind of, you know, what's the natural dynamic of who people actually look to for leadership? But I did think it was kind of messed up for Victoria that it seemed like she was helping the rookies and people would go to her for certain things, but nobody even, none of the rookies voted for her, or it was just kind of like they don't look at you in that capacity. That's a lot to swallow, but I think a true leader is kind of, it's a natural thing that people either gravitate towards looking to you because you have those qualities. And it's okay if not everybody's meant to be a leader. And I just think the goal to become a squad leader, a group leader, captain, et cetera, is just, it's just an interesting goal because you should really be focused on your inner qualities as a leader that people automatically kind of gravitate towards, as opposed to kind of like earning it because of how much seniority that you might have. Does that make sense? Oh, there's so many comments. Okay. My wish for fellow pro cheerleaders is to see how this once in a lifetime experience is a foundation as opposed to the only time they'll peak. Did everybody get that? That was amazing. It's a foundation as opposed to the only time that you'll peak. That would really make a difference in perspective because it goes by so fast too. And if you kind of zoom through it and you're not looking at it as kind of like, you know, building that foundation for your life to kind of soar from there, you're going to keep chasing, chasing, chasing. And, you know, again, that crash is going to happen. And I really appreciate you saying that, like, because it's not going to be the only time you'll peak. Life goes on and there's beautiful things that happen to you in life. And there's so many opportunities that you can pursue after this too, that it's not going to be the only time that you'll peak. It's just that this experience is just so unique that it's going to feel like the only peak because there's nothing that's going to be like it, and we can't do anything about that. There's just nothing like this. Oh, okay, Chrissy, is somebody's checking for you on YouTube. I suggest you reach out to the Brooklynette's Instagram or something so you can get in touch with her. Okay, next comment. I think it's the pressure now with this with society. With this society, I'm sorry, to be the best. Definitely a sense of entitlement, but used to not be like that when I danced. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, like if you are chasing leadership roles so much, I just think year after year after year, especially if you're not getting it, that you're cheating yourself of enjoying the experience because, you know, and that could be Pro Bowl, that could be anything. It's just, you should enjoy it and just let it come to you, what comes to you in that regard. Otherwise, you're going to be setting yourself up for disappointment. It's a lot of obviously responsibility with having a leadership role, but I was just glad for Victoria's sake that it wasn't like I'm going to force this issue and keep auditioning because I think I should be getting squad leader as a fifth year. Like that's just not the, I just didn't think that was probably like in her best interest. Any hoodles. I love how this is going. I hope it's not all over the...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Please keep talking to me, you guys. What else did I have about Victoria? Okay. I had a note here just about, like, year after year we go through this. It's like off season, you're trying to make the right decision of whether you should audition again. And I think people should think about their relationship that they have with their team or with the organization. Is it a healthy relationship? Do you feel good about yourself and your participation and what you offer in the relationship? Do you feel valued and appreciated in that relationship? Because if those kind of things are not really syncing up where you feel valued and like this is a good use of your energy and time, or the bad outweighs the good, I just think it's like worth going through the analysis in your mind. Is this a healthy relationship to stay in? It could be you or it could be the organization, but I just think it's important to have that inner conversation with yourself of, is this really what's serving me? Is this what's feeding me? Is this something that I should continue to devote my entire goddamn life to? If it's something that actually makes you feel like crap or makes you question yourself, or, you know, because maybe you do need time away from that squad or that organization to just recalibrate, right? Get into a better headspace, or pick an organization that you actually think is more in alignment with seeing your value and seeing your worth. And I was just kind of noting that it's just really important to do that little health check, I would say, because you can pour your life into these teams and ultimately when your time is done, life moves on. A new squad is formed. There's nothing really to gain if it's sucking something out of you that you can't get back. You're going to end up soured on the whole experience, and it's just not going to, you know, those last years that you're holding on when you are entering into that relationship, knowing that it's not doing you any good, those are going to be like some really crappy behind years to think back on. And so I think every year that you're part of an organization, it's worth taking time to evaluate if it's an organization that is serving your spirit, where you feel good, where you feel valued, respected, all of those things, and that you actually understand your why and you're still connected to it, right? Let's see. Hi, Kristen. I love you so much. I love you too. And we freaking are way long overdue. I have not watched the documentary, knowing what you've walked. Oh, excuse me. I cannot read when it's on my shirt. Okay, let's see. I have not watched the documentary, knowing what you've walked me through. Should I? Oh my goodness. Or would we then need to go live together after? You know what, Kristen? I think we should all watch it. I really do, because it might be triggering in some ways, but it's also a lot to reflect on in a positive way of like what you, I feel like everybody who did this should take pride in the work that we did, the achievement of just making the team as a whole, because it is actually so, there's just such a handful of us, you guys, that have actually walked this life, that have gone through these audition processes, have put that kind of blood, sweat, and tears into being on a team for 1 year, multiple years, it doesn't matter. And so, you know, there's things that you might spot in terms of like issues, like I did not like that part, or that's BS, I cannot believe they had to deal with that. But then there's also a lot of pride that I felt in watching what I was a part of. And for anybody who was in my life as a close friend or otherwise that just kind of knew what was going on, but really didn't know, this show, I feel like, would give them a really good insight into what that world was like, where they can kind of get more of a holistic picture of it. And so I think anybody who's watching it, there's a lot to take. It's like the good, bad, and the ugly, you know? And I think I have like some notes about the good, some notes about the bad, some about the ugly. No, my mic is working, but thank you so much for calling that out. That would have been bad. I think it blinks when it's not plugged in. So thanks for checking for me. I appreciate that. I'm looking at it's recording over here, so that's a good thing. But yeah, I just wanted to call that out of just like, evaluate the relationship. If it's anything that undermines your sense of self-worth, then it's absolutely worth maybe taking a step back. Maybe you go back to it. I don't know. Maybe Victoria will return after having some time to reflect and kind of find herself without DCC. But I think everybody, it's just a healthy exercise to evaluate how you're feeling about that relationship that you form, because you give so much of your time to it, like so much. It's such a commitment. Somebody said, you ladies should be absolutely so proud of your accomplishments. Thank you. So many of us grew up truly idolizing the DCC. My sister and I would flip if we would go to the mail and see 49ers to the mall, not to the mail. Okay. Every time I struggle with trying to see something, I'm like, I should drink. That's not the answer, but whatever. Okay. My sister and I would flip if we'd go to the mall and see the 49ers or the Raiders cheerleaders, because it is a big deal. And okay, so I'm going to respond all out of order with some of my notes, just based on what some of you guys are saying. The reason that I had a lot of the feels was because I was just reminded in watching the series of how much we have the ability to like brighten somebody's day. Like, from going to any of the dozens of appearances that we go on and seeing them, just how much it lights up their world. Like, that is such a gift that we have, to really genuinely seem interested in their day, to get them smiling, to get them having a story to share with somebody. Like, I met so-and-so today. And I just think that's like a very underrated aspect of our job, where we all talk about our community service and what we do. But it's something really unique about connecting with people on a human level. When seeing that bus driver break down when they came to visit him was like, that's when I was kind of like choked up, because those moments are irreplaceable. You know, those are the moments that I hope everybody looks back at their time, good or bad, you know, cheering professionally, and think about the lives that you've touched and, you know, the small impact that you make, and just being able to wear a uniform that gives you that, you know, superpower. I just think it's such a beautiful part of our job. And it's something, I forget whose post it was, but it was something like about like kind of carrying that forward. And I feel like most of us do that in our daily lives, of being that kind of person that inspires people, or that is positive, or tries to make somebody feel seen and appreciated. That's just a great gift and quality that I just see in our space more than anything. I think a lot of people embody that, and it's just it's something that I'm proud of. I was proud of in watching that. You know, it really, really touched his heart to see them showing up at the hospital for him. And that's the kind of those small things that can just make such a difference in someone's day. You know, not that that uniform allows us to do that, but it makes it that much more special for somebody to be seen and felt appreciated or acknowledged by somebody from their like favorite sports team. It's something that, it's just underrated. Let's see. Some people are in the comments, and now the NFL cheerleaders are so modern that teams like DCC, Raiderettes, Broncos hold that classic NFL style. And it's amazing to see the tradition continue. I agree. Like, I mean, I think too, part of me, when I was watching the series, I was like, man, there are so many teams that I would love to see in almost like a Hard Knocks kind of like format, where we get to be educated that there are other like amazing programs that also have a history, traditions and things of that nature. But, you know, there's just a lot to be appreciated. Even if it's the one example, everybody adores DCC. I feel like the women on this team are, you know, just so, what's the word I want to use? It's not even like, it's just genuinely beautiful people inside and out. Like, the class, they were very genuine and authentic. It didn't feel like a Miss America. I'm not saying Miss America's not authentic, but just it didn't feel like pretentious or trying to be so sweet or trying to be so nice. But you're also able to see that they're human. They may make mistakes or they may come off in ways that aren't intended, but just really beautiful people. And I mean, I think it's just an example of like what I think of when I think of a cheerleader. We're cheerleaders for humanity. We're cheerleaders for being a good person. Like this is what we're kind of like about. And I wish that standard did not only apply to us. Like, think about what the NFL would be like if more of the players kind of embodied that type of humanity and that sense of connection. And you know, it probably wouldn't be nearly as scandalous as some of the stories that come out about some of these players. But I wish the standard that we were held toward also applied just as much to the players. And for some organizations, maybe it does. But I was really proud of how these women represented themselves, most importantly, and also the organization. Let me see what other notes I had. Keep talking to me. So let's just deal with the dark side, because I was kind of like, ugh, so mad. But that's just the mama bear in me. I liked that the series did touch on like, hey, there's some not so cute aspects to the job, right? I mean, to see Sophie being pulled from a game, to have to deal with this nonsense of having to make a police report of somebody groping her on the sidelines. Like, there's so many people on the freaking sidelines, you guys, like photographers, people from the front office, like official, there's so many people on the dang sidelines. And I was just so pumped for Sophie that she like figured out who the heck it was. And so she was not, you know, confused about it by 2 seconds. She knew she had been violated. I thought she handled it with the utmost class and not making like a huge to do about it, but she was rightfully upset. I was impressed by the response from the organization. Definitely not happy with the ultimate result that they weren't able to press charges against this guy, but yay that the guy was like banned from the stadium. You know, it's just kind of one of those things that I know when I was on the squad, and Brittany and I've talked about it when we first started this podcast, like, you know, just those times of being in appearances and people sliding their hands down when they have their arm around you and it's out of sight for people who are in the front taking the picture, but it's actually some shit that happens where somebody's touching you inappropriately and you're having, you know, pom-poms in your hands, you're, you know, on display, so you're trying to handle it in a way that's semi-discreet, but you know, you really want to just make a scene, right, and be able to slap somebody with your pom-poms even if you really could handle it like you want to. I thought Sophie handled it really well. I was just very disappointed that despite, you know, knowing who it was, like it became like a her word against the photographers or them not finding true evidence of it. Like, that is some sneaky shit for you to use your equipment to block an assault. And I just really was sorry that that happened. I mean, I can't imagine with Kelsey and the freaking AirTag on her car, you guys, like, I was so happy to hear her take her power back, though. Like, I cannot just be living in fear, worrying around what's going on around every corner. Like, that was just so scary, though, to think about. And that's just the reality. Like, we're exposed to that type of crap happening, because even with as much security as they have, to know that that was something that, you know, while you're at practice or a game, whenever it happens, that you are now being followed all the way to your house. Like, scary crap. And I was not happy they showed it, but it's just the reality of what we're exposed to. Hi there, you guys. Let's see. So let's get some comments, you guys. You are beautiful. You're amazing. I am blessed by your friendship. You make a difference. Your mind is beautiful. I miss you. I miss you too. Okay, we're catching up this weekend. That's it. The football they make fans hold. Let's see. The football they make fans hold by the club was so clutch. Every organization should implement that. Yes, Megan. And hi, Megan. That was what was next in my notes. Like, the football, for people to hold onto the football during photo ops with cheerleaders makes it so smooth. You don't have to worry about putting your hands around anybody. We don't have to worry about putting our hands around you. Like, you just hold on to the football. You look cool. It's something to do. And everybody's safe. And everybody's... it's just a respectable moment, because I did notice, like, when some teams have, like, put your hands on your hips and don't touch the ladies. Like, it becomes this, like, oh, shit, I wasn't even going to do anything kind of moment. I liked how they handled it. It's just like, here's a football. You look cool. You don't have to worry about any awkward moments of you not, of you just doing something that you shouldn't be doing. It just makes it so smooth for the fans. And I thought every team needs to take that idea and run with it. Let's see. Okay, what else did I have here? So because they did show like the issues with security, I also was kind of thinking, I wonder if for the next season of this, if they're going to kind of touch on like social media commentary and the harmful effects of that, or how some of the cheerleaders deal with that. I would be very curious to see them take that on, because it's something that I think is a reality too. That's like a not so cute part of the job, is when maybe they're not moderating comments on these pages and you're hearing from, or maybe you're even getting DMs and you're having to block people because people are being inappropriate online with either bullying or, you know, just commenting on people's bodies and weight. Like, I hate that crap. And I would imagine that there is some impact for the DCC and for the women who are on these teams to deal with that, block that out, etc. I would love to see that addressed. Ooh, I have like a freaking comment question. Hold, please. The thoughts on the weight conversations when it comes to being heavier, being front row on the previous show, but Victoria's eating disorder was spoken about by judges. Charlotte, Kelly, and Judy all super veiled. Really? Okay, let's talk about this for the eating disorder part. Thanks so much for the question. I don't know about you guys, but it's not that that moment just seemed very glossed over to me. It was very vulnerable for Victoria to kind of speak about, like, just that cycle. I remember her saying something like, it's just a vicious cycle that starts with the depression and then not so great eating habits. And I just didn't, that was a lot to unload, but I just felt like it was very, it didn't go any further than that. And I would have loved, even if they jumped to like a different person to talk to outside of the organization, a former or something, to really touch on that issue. Like, I felt like it was just a little speed bump over it, as opposed to really like dealing with it, which was disappointing to me. I think that would have opened up the conversation that really needed to be had about like what these crazy expectations ultimately lead to. And I think that like Kelly made some commentary about like, hey, we don't use scales anymore, and you know, we leave it to the dancer, and we have nutritionists, and we have mental health specialists, and we have this and that, and then basically like we don't have those conversations anymore. And to me, that wasn't really like, I was just left wanting more of a discussion around guidance, right? And hearing how they have like understood how their expectations lead to all of those problems. And so more, not like, here, we provided this to you, have at it, you're on your own, but more like, we understand that there's a healthier way to have the conversation, not just like we're not having it. And it felt like when Victoria was open about struggling with her, you know, eating disorders, that it just didn't really get the conversation that I felt like it deserved, which was just a little disappointing to me, because we know the reality of it. For people to meet those standards and requirements around the uniform, it doesn't matter if they don't weigh you. Like, I was just imagining when, like, did you guys remember the part when, ooh, okay. And then they have, so I'm reading a comment, y'all. And then they have never addressed if DCC has done anything to help the cheerleaders. They've stopped weighing the women. I don't think they do understand that that's the thing. Yeah, so you guys remember the part in the episode, I don't remember which one, where it was, they had just finished a game and Kelly was already looking at pictures to maybe post online or something, I don't know, and already kind of critiquing the pictures, like, I don't remember what the commentary was, but I remember what something that was even more effective than even probably putting me on a scale was using pictures from game day as like a way to say whatever needed to be said about how I looked in the uniform. And I was like, maybe they're not talking about it or putting people on scales, but you know, they can use other ways of communicating whether they approve or not of how you look in the uniform. And I don't know what, I just felt like they didn't really deal with it. And it was a little, like I said, disappointing, because the reality is, unless they are really given the tools and the support to have a healthy lifestyle, in addition to maybe the organization adjusting. They seem very unapologetic about the uniform and the standards that it takes to be in the uniform. It's part of the job description, I think, is how somebody put it. But I would love for them to face head on just kind of like the reality of how people struggle to find a healthy way to fit into that uniform. Just that acknowledgement would have been at least a little bit more responsible, because it's a conversation that just needed to happen. Let's see what people are saying here. No more weighing, but the women still know to stay thin or else. Yeah, they're saying like, hey, wearing the uniform is a part of the job. And we do get that. I just think that I think if teams really grasp this by the horns, like, yes, this is part of the job description. You know what the uniform is like. You know what you're getting into. But let's talk more than just saying, like, we have this and we have that and you can do it on your own. More like, and we're actually being very open in terms of what those tools are and what we're communicating, like what the tools that you're providing to people around nutrition, around exercise, and that you're even sharing it with the people who are hopeful for auditioning for your team. Like, if you're providing those resources to your dancers, like.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
The same way that you have prep classes, maybe talk about those resources that you offer to your dancers. Like, this is kind of like what you need to intake, because they had a lot of conversation around one of the vets around, like, it seemed that she was low energy. She was low energy all season and you have to fuel your body. Okay, well, maybe as part of your audition prep or even a part of this series that you actually talk to people about what it means to fuel your body. Like, here's some tools here. And maybe it's way more specific than providing it generally. But I just think that I would want an organization to be transparent around those resources for dancers, because then it allows them to meet the demands of the job, but in a healthy way. There really aren't resources, somebody says. I asked the Cowboys and they didn't offer much. Yeah. And I think if you did have something to tout, I think you would, right? I know I saw a comment where, I think it was for the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders on, I think it was somebody else's post. I'm in Instagram in my head, but where they actually spoke to like what they offer for the Minnesota Vikings cheerleaders around nutrition and the things that they have in place. And I think when you really do have something to talk about, it's not like just this blanket statement. But maybe the DCC do have it and they cut it out. Who knows? But they didn't answer this particular person's questions around what they do, and it didn't come out in the episode either, other than just a statement like, we don't weigh them anymore, and we just let them, we provide some resources and we let them figure it out on their own. And that just wasn't the conversation that I really hoped for. Let's see. They critiqued Victoria's energy. Meanwhile, she was in the middle of a freaking eating disorder. Of course she was fatigued. Yeah, it was somebody else who was a blonde, like the one who also was a, she was also a legacy cheerleader. I think they talked, they were like, we weren't sure if you were sick during auditions because she was so low energy. That's who I was thinking of, but maybe they said it about Victoria too. Okay, so somebody says, currently watching episode 6, but in training camp, Kelly stated no food or drink in a studio, but they could eat dinner because they were coming from work. That surprised me because that is not sustainable. Madeline, somebody says, yes, that's who I was thinking of. She was the one that was kind of like always talked about being low energy on the whole series, I felt like. And it's like proper fueling your body. Okay, so let's talk about this whole eating. If you guys have been in the grind, you know that these practices are like at 6:30. You're getting off of work. You're driving in traffic. You're trying to get to the studio or wherever you practice in time enough to kind of like go through things in your head. That is the worst time to try to stuff some dinner down your throat to try to like have some fuel. But like, even with all the meal planning in the world, trying to find the right and appropriate time to eat is crazy. And I was very confused when Kelly was kind of saying that they can, when can they eat dinner? But maybe they have some little break in practice where people are able to fuel themselves and then come back in. I just was kind of like, how does that work? I definitely had that question when I was hearing that, because we practiced from like 6:30 in the evening, you guys, till who knows, 10:30, 11, I don't know, depending on how tight the practices are run. But that's during your dinner time, and maybe you're eating a little bit earlier while you're at work before you leave for the, you know, for practice. But it is a challenge trying to figure out how to properly fuel yourself. I have an episode about it. It's called Eat It. And I know that I saw her in the chat. It's eating. I'm going to make sure I get her her handle down just so that you can take a look at her Instagram page. It's amazing in terms of, it's like eating with Al. Hold on, let me find it. Where are you, girl? I know I saw you in here. Eating with .al, right? Al. Anyway, the whole point is go back and find my Eat It episode. It was an awesome conversation around this very topic and the types of like resources and information, misinformation, like how everybody kind of mismanages this piece of the job where you have to fuel properly, but yet you have, and you have to look a certain way in the uniform. And I just think if they provide those resources in a very transparent way, both to prospective dancers as well as people on the team, then we'll just keep this very, very important conversation going. Saying you don't weigh them anymore is not the end of the conversation. Okay, we never had breaks in training camp to eat. Yeah, I feel like that just doesn't happen. Water breaks, and sometimes they forget the water breaks. I never heard of no snack break. We couldn't have food in the practice field when I was on the team, but everybody snuck stuff in their mouth, stuff in their pockets. Like, you knew you were breaking the rule, but you needed to survive practice, and that's just the reality of it. But maybe things have changed. Who knows? Hey, Sunny, talking about this show, y'all. Okay. Especially with cameras there, there's no chance of, there's no chance that you weren't dancing. You were in interviews or reviewing choreo. So there's no time to be sneaking in a little healthy snack, something to fuel you through the day. I think that's just something that, again, let's just talk about it in a real way. When are people able to fuel properly? Shouldn't be in your car. Shouldn't be like some, it just should be realistic because the demands on your body, and you can't say that nobody's dancing with the right energy or someone's not bringing it when you really you're deprived of the food that you need. I'm sorry, I'm just all over the place, but thank you guys so much for chiming in with these questions. I think I have another question in the box. Ooh, Kelly and Charlotte both avoided the pay convo in both press for the show and the interviews on the show. Very disappointing. How will pay get better if no one at the top will discuss it? I'm going to drink some rosé to that point because I know I went off on it the last time I went live. And I'm going to try not to go off on it again, but hold please. and thinking about the series as a whole, you guys, again, so much pride and so much, it just brought back a lot of feels. I can't let that one point just tank the whole thing for me, but the conversation and even seeing the comments, you guys, from people who are watching, regular fans, people who appreciate what we do, all of the conversation that I've seen around how they handled the pay. I mean, I'm clearly not the only one. What? Okay, they asked Kelly in an interview and her response was literally, "I don't write the checks." Okay, see, now you're making me mad. I was trying to come in here being all positive, Pollyanna, and now I've been looking at comments. I've been trying to watch interviews and all the press with the show because obviously people are watching. But how long are they going to ski skirt this issue? Like, I don't understand. You don't write the checks, but we know what your check looks. Well, we don't know what your check looks like, but come on. That's just not. I think it's just so disappointing that they can't just take the issue head on. And even just being like a great example of this world, they keep saying world-class organization. And I'm like, yes, world-class. You're in the Smithsonian. It's this massive stadium and this huge brand. And like, it's time to talk about the pay. The Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders could actually be kind of like, you know, the pioneers in doing something. Not even pioneers. I mean, you got the Knick City Dancers who are paying, I mean, there's 9 of them, but you know, at least they're paying them $80,000 a year, allegedly, around giving them a salary so that they're able to pay them to be at this elite level and be on this amazing team. Like, why can't the DCC decide we're going to be the first NFL team to provide a salary to our 36 women? Cut it to 32 for if that's really what the issue is, but there's no issue in terms of money. I just hate that they can just kind of like hide behind this. We're not discussing it. You know, when press asks questions that are, you know, we have like people in here like that are trying to force conversations that absolutely need to happen, you guys. And Paige Skinner is one of them. And to just not have to answer the question is kind of ridiculous. Or to say, hey, I don't write the checks, but you know that your check doesn't look like their check. Nowhere close to it. It's just one of those things that I just, it makes me mad. It's just such an unnecessary stain on a great series, right? To see all of their hard work and dedication, to see how well they carry themselves, to see what a great sisterhood it is, and to think that the sisterhood is your compensation and the experience. It's just not enough. And I'm so disappointed that they didn't seize this moment to say, all right, even if we were kind of like, you do this for something bigger than yourself and you don't do it for the pay. Okay, we're hearing the backlash. We're understanding that this is optically, this is not ideal for our brand. So what are we going to do about it? Maybe there's still room for that, you guys. But I have definitely seen a lot of public commentary, people bashing that moment. I think it's a horrible stain on a great series, like I said, and a little bit unacceptable. That's just me putting it. I think I went off way harder in my last live session. But it's just disappointing. Like, I really feel more disappointed than upset because they actually could make a difference in being a pioneer, at least with the NFL, with all the things that have happened with the NFL. Why not be that team that's just like, boom, we got the money, we got the brand, we have all of this standing behind us being the best of the best. We're going to pay the best of the best like they're the best of the best. Let's end this conversation. How easy is that to do? So easy. So easy. Okay. Let's see. I cannot believe she said that. I don't write the checks. Okay, fine. Imagine if they just took 10,000 from each of the football players and gave that to them, the impact. Yeah. And I mean, let's just be real. Just give them some of the money that you got from this Netflix deal. Like, it, you know, who's the star of it, really? Like, the dancers are. I don't even think... There's just no, like, when you hear about certain teams in the NFL, like, you know, oh, we can't afford to take more than a certain number of people for budget. Like, a lot of NFL teams and probably NBA teams struggle with budget and being a cost center. But this is one of the teams that actually has been turned into a profit center for their organization, bringing in revenue. And so it just makes the argument weaker why they're not able to come up with the money from somewhere. Like, let's cut the crap already. Like, it's just, and we're women. Like, I just, you know, Charlotte's a woman. Like, Kelly, like, these are all, like, who refuses to pay? Like, has a conversation come up and then people are like, no, we're not going to do it because they don't come here for that. Like, let's just be realistic about this whole thing once and for all. Cut it out. Like, cut it out. And then it may pave the way for change throughout the industry of paying dancers what they're worth. Yes, just imagine. I mean, we can dream, right? But I'm just so sick of, like, the rationale for why this can't happen. It's just not adding up. The math ain't mathing. Okay. Girl, they don't even have to take from the football players. They are making millions off the show and calendars, etc. It's just so wild. It is. They got the money. Thank you for the shout out. Of course, Paige, like, thank you for the work that you do to try to shed light on this issue, among others, for asking the tough questions that I know you don't get answers to. Like, that would drive me up a wall. Like, they declined comment. Okay, well, they should have to comment. They should have to respond, because we have questions. We want and deserve answers, right? All of this being said, the series had way more heart and why and vulnerability behind it than CMT did. Okay, it was beautifully shot and made me cry multiple times. Aww. So, okay, let's talk about everybody's reactions, because I know I just felt this sense of pride. That's what made me emotional, especially when it came to conversations around retirement. You know, and thinking about, who was it, like Caroline, going through such a difficult time, and I don't think it really got the discussion that probably deserved, of going through, you know, an injury ending your time, maybe cutting it short, right, on a team, while you're also trying to usher the way for your sister. I don't remember if she was younger or older, but to have the same experience. And here they're sharing this small space with each other. And you could tell that she probably needed a little bit more understanding of what she was going through. And I don't know even that her sister probably could relate yet, because she hasn't had the experience yet, right? But I just really felt like, how difficult would that be to go through all the things that you go through when you're retiring, right? Where you're having to let go, and trying to be happy for somebody else, but it's just, and you're also living in a tight space, and it's your sibling, and, you know, and, like, I just felt really, like, torn for the dancers who were making the decision to retire, and the tears were just so real, and I just kind of felt how difficult of a decision it is of, like, letting go of something that you treasure so, so much, and, you know, also just that fear of not knowing necessarily what's next for you. Some people seemed really at peace with their decision. But it was a lot of moments of, like, I could relate like crazy to what they were going through. And yeah, all the feels. It was so much, like, every night I was like, well, dang, what do I want to say? And I didn't want to break it down episode by episode, but there were lots and lots of thoughts. The one thing, oh, let's make sure I didn't forget anything else. The NBA is the same, probably in terms of pay. I don't know if that's what you're talking about. But yeah, same issues. Tickets cost more than dancers' salary at games. Don't I know it. Going to these NBA games. But it's the thing, like, the work ethic that's involved with what we do. You know, again, we're not even trying to compare it to what the players do. It's just that they're making an extreme amount of money off of game day entertainment, one way or the other. And you would just think, paying the actual entertainers something reasonable that doesn't amount to Chick-fil-A salary would be just a no-brainer, you know? Somebody says, just a thought, what if dancers use 1099 independent contractors and NIL branding? It's so many ways to skin this pay cat. Yeah, the 1099 is definitely, this is like independent contractors, right? Where you're not an employee of the organization. That's when it gets a little tricky and where a lot of teams got in trouble. Because of whatever that amount would be for an independent contractor, it wouldn't really amount to minimum wage if you actually did the math of what hours that they were putting into it. So there's nothing wrong with them being treated as an independent contractor as long as the compensation actually makes sense. The NIL branding piece, you know, some teams have a lot of restrictions on how much they are able to, you know, use their brand in branding themselves as a dancer. And I think, you know, some teams have loosened up about that, but there are, I think, a lot of opportunities that I've seen some DCC take advantage of like being a, you know, an influencer or using different brands to kind of make some additional money, I think it would be really crappy for them to restrict that type of activity. But it's just such a short-lived window to try to, like, monetize yourself just because you are a DCC. But I don't even think they should have to do all that crap. I don't think they should have to. I think if they want to hold a job full-time because they have the skills and desire to have career goals outside of DCC, amazing. I just think that whatever time that they spend with DCC or any team, frankly, right, that they should actually be compensated properly for the work that they put in. And it doesn't need to come outside of the organizations. They have it. They actually freaking have it. Like, it's, they have it. And you guys, let's just be real about, like, sports management positions in general, like being in the front office. It's not just the cheerleaders that sometimes have this, like, you know, this mentality of like, hey, you're lucky to have this job. Sports management jobs are the most competitive jobs probably out there. And the pay is not always what it's cut out to be either for those roles. But people take it because they want the experience on their resume. They want to be able to say they work for X, Y, and Z, or they want the exposure or the woo-woo-woo factor of working for their favorite sports team. So it's not just the dancers. I think these, you know, it's a billion-dollar industry because they know the scarcity in the types of roles and opportunities of working for the team. And they know for somebody who wants to put their foot down about pay, there's somebody who's willing to come in and do it for free. And until that dynamic shifts, I think that's just kind of, to some extent, the industry. And it doesn't just sit on dancers, unfortunately. But yeah, if they loosen up on the branding and allow dancers to kind of like exploit the heck out of that, then maybe they could supplement their income. They just shouldn't have to. Somebody said, I love that idea though. Most of them are a little blonde, no benefits. No benefits, especially as a 1099. But I mean, you know, even as a part-time employee, whatever they bucket they put us in, you know, there are no benefits guaranteed, no sick leave, no, none of those things that should exist, right? Or it depends on the market, like they really should be entitled to that as well. But yeah, it's really something from an employment law perspective that I would love to just really, really get into, because the 1099 would be a good route, but there's trade-offs, right? But you guys are calling out some of those. It's a great idea. It's just got some aspects to it that kind of like, you know, just some pros and cons. Let's see. Thank you guys so much for joining. And this is like so juicy. I'm going to read and sip. Hold on. DCC aren't allowed to partner with brands and use their name as a DCC. See, that's what I was afraid of. A lot of teams have restrictions on that. I didn't know for sure if DCC. But again, they're protecting that brand. So if there's going to be a partnership, it's probably going to be for DCC cheerleaders as a whole with a cute little price tag on it. All those like sponsors that you guys have, that's money that's going into the organization as well. They're having you as the spokesmodels for it, but it's not something that you're financially benefiting from. Again, I mean, I mean, for all the DCC that are either listening or whatever, I'm not trying to taint like your experience. It is an honor to probably to wear that uniform and to work that hard and to achieve that level. And so it's probably not a critique in your mind of some of the things that we're saying, or maybe you do have a critique, but you're not able to share that openly. I mean, these are just things that we want for you because we want for ourselves. We want for other NFL cheerleaders. We want for NBA dancers, anybody that's in this space that does what we do. I don't think it's really like trying to tear apart your organization as much as it is like, we see how hard you work and we know you deserve it. And that's why we're like getting all about it, because we really want this for you. We acknowledge the hard work that goes into it, and we want to see this industry shift. And we just think that your team would be the one to take us into a new era in 2024. Right? I mean, you know, one of the other points I had was just seeing like the decades and decades of DCC that have been a part of, you know, the organization and coming back year to year to do these performances. And, you know, it just shows that there's strength in numbers, there's strength in this legacy, there's such a strong sisterhood. And I know the older timers like to say that they looked at this as more of a privilege instead of a job, but I would love to see anybody take like an objective look back at their time as a professional cheerleader And just say, doesn't mean that you have to hate your experience, or you like, you're taking, you know, this controversial stance. Just think back at like when you were busting your behind, you know, struggling through the whole experience, if you actually just got paid for it in a way that made things a little more, I don't know, gave you a little bit more of a trade-off or a benefit. Like, that's all we're really truly pushing for. And I wish that I heard more support of that from some of the, I won't say older, but more, you know, some of the alumni that viewed their time very differently, because this wasn't a conversation at the time, I don't think, except for like the lawsuits that started to happen. Like, I think you can look fondly back on your time as an NFL cheerleader, as a professional dancer without, but also still like, look at that, look back at that fondly and still from an objective standpoint, analyze things from in terms of pay. Really analyze objectively, like, did it feel great what they were doing around body image at that time? No. Like, it can be, both things can exist, right? You can love this space, and that's why I'm here. I love this space so much. I fully, truly support each and every one of you, current, former, aspiring, and I want the best experience for you. And I think, you know, some of this discussion is just not so cute and pretty, but it's just necessary because we want to see this industry evolve. And we want to see us valued at the in the right way. And so that's at least where I'm coming from with it. Like, I don't want to kind of go down negative Nancy lane. Yes, that did make sense about them not being able to partner. I have heard that when the dancers get injured, they don't have access to the trainers. That is something that's like, they didn't somebody get hurt during, I feel like one of the episodes, somebody did get hurt. She rolled her ankle. Anisha, or I'm probably jacking up her name. She was a training camp candidate. She ended up getting cut. Former Warriors dancer and 49ers cheerleader, Gold Rush cheerleader. But it seemed like they had people on hand to, in terms of trainers. So I really hope that more and more and more and more teams provide that access to their dancers, to the team's trainers, or having their own trainers. Like, it's really, really important. The part that really struck me, and I talked about it the last time I was live, was just, when it comes down to an injury that results in a surgery that you have to have when you're no longer associated with the team, like, you guys, who's footing that bill? This isn't something that you're actually, you don't have benefits to, unless, you know, you have your job and you're able to, you know, get some assistance in that way. But it just really, really blows my mind that these injuries are actually caused by this occupational hazard of doing what you do. And there's not an offer or anything, like, you know, even with the players and the guys that are suffering from CTE, and you're hearing about like more efforts to get these teams to help these alumni players like deal with this afterlife, right? Because financially it can kind of not bankrupt people, but it's really a challenge. You're not making that kind of money anymore, and this obviously is an injury related to your performance for the team. I would love to see some extension of benefits in some form or fashion around dealing with these injuries. Somebody's saying it depends on the team, how much they support you through your injury. A former DCC told me that they have very limited access to trainers. That's really interesting, you guys. I mean, I think these are things that it wouldn't be nice to pull back the veil on, because it's important to understand, especially if you make these teams your entire life and you are challenging your body so much, so very little recovery, and you're ending up with an injury. It's just, you know, and you're trying to like push through like the Caroline chick did to the end of the season before having surgery. Like, it's just that's a whole other topic that I would love to have a whole episode on, are injuries in pro cheerleading. Hit me up if you'd like to be part of that conversation. I think that's something that we should talk about, because that's a reality, and it just hurts me to think that people are taking on the financial burden of having these types of surgeries and dealing with these types of injuries either during the season or after the season and not having the support that they need. So not good. Girls blowing knees out during the jump switch should be fully financially supported, but not sure that's how it really goes down. Makes my blood boil. Doctors for Dancers, you guys, if you're not following Doctors for Dancers, please give them a follow. So many resources for dancers, and We should just do a whole episode together, I think. Okay, somebody, she says, makes my blood boil. I don't even know if it's she. The dancers should have access to resources to help them during their elite training. 100%. Same issue that happened at LSU. Yes, talk about it. I'm hoping these conversations facilitate change for the better for our community. Absolutely. This is what, again, hopefully these conversations aren't appeared as like ripping anything. Like this is coming from a very passionate place of wanting better, right? And having resources for yourself to deal with injuries and to, it's just, you know, like we should be so past this. Like it's something that I think we're entitled to. We put enough into it to actually have that as a resource and benefit for what we do. Like those jump splits, every time I see them make my heart jump, knowing that there are other teams in the NFL that do this, like it's just the rigor, and whether they provide those resources or not, you're really just putting your body in so much harm's way. And I mean, people say you sign up for that. Well, not, can we just drop that narrative and just really have the conversation around, even if it's not with your team, what resources you have available to you outside of that, like Doctors for Dancers, please check that out, because I think there might be tons of resources that can at least point you in the right direction of what you may need if you're on a team. I'm with you, Makiba. I love DC. Can I speak English? I love DCC and all NFL cheerleading and just think they deserve better. Exactly. I get you, Paige. I know where you're coming from. Yes, we should. Let's plan it. Okay, let's do it. Let's make that happen. We love our community so much, but y'all deserve so many resources that others already receive without a blink of an eye. So we've covered that. We're going to have an episode to talk about that more. How about that? And, you know, this is all coming from a place, again, of being so proud of what we saw, understanding how much blood, sweat, and tears go into it, and wanting the best for you. And I think because we all idolize DCC so much, I think we're all looking at you as an example of what could be in this space. And I do think NFL cheerleading as a whole, I feel like you can put any NFL cheerleading team on a show like that and you would see a very similar display of heart, grace, hard work. But, you know, DCC has a spotlight. And so I just hope they seize this moment and get weary of providing these like blank answers around issues that are really important to our community. Like I said, I really enjoyed watching each of the dancers that were featured. I look forward to season two, and maybe they feature other dancers that are on the team. I think, you know, I was really impressed by the leadership that they showed from Kelsey and how she supported her squad. I think they have like lots of great leaders on that team, and I want to hear their voices. And I'm just excited for season two. It makes sense why there was so little activity on the DCC Instagram. But at the same time, some of the things that I did see on the DCC Instagram over the past year make a lot more sense to me now that we know that there's a show going on. And I just hope that they do cover some of these other tough topics, whether it's social media, whether it's racism, whether it's, you know, let's deal with it in a real and transparent way. And I hope some of these other things that we've discussed tonight, injuries, eating disorders, like that we deal with that in a little bit more in-depth way than we got to see this season. But other than that, I was definitely in my feels. I really appreciate you guys sharing, you know, what your perspective was and watching the show. I wish we could have all kind of like watched it together in a movie theater and just got to talk afterwards, because it's definitely something that you just want to have, I don't know, a glass of wine, but really like everybody reflecting on how it hits them. That's what I really craved from watching it. My girls are getting together on Sunday, and I hope we all talk about it too, because there's so much to relate to. And I think it did a really good job of showing not even just what it takes, but just like where our heart is at in doing it. Like, because people want to say like, well, you get paid so much crap, why do you do it anyway? Why do you do what you do? And I felt like this show illustrated the why for us. Like having that kind of crazy, insane talent and not sharing it with the world would be terrible. And, you know, seeing them being able to perform at this elite level and kind of like step into that power, wearing that uniform, touching people's lives, kind of like, I don't know, I was just like all in the feels. And I know it's so hard to let go of, but I was also left just really excited to see what they do next with their journeys, because it doesn't end here. And everybody's rooting for you, DCC. I'm glad that we all got to talk about it. I'm looking at my notes. I'm making sure in YouTube land. Oh, hell, I done missed some comments. Hold on. Ooh, the tea of the series. I have days off coming up to watch this. Yes, catch up. Okay, let's see. I think that was one of the reasons the Jills got cut. They were not officially hired on by the Bills. That's correct. They had a whole different entertainment company, essentially, that was somewhat managing them as independent contractors. There's some great documentary, A Woman's Work, about that covers the Bills lawsuit. I encourage anybody to go look at that as well. The jump splits needs to go. It's causing too many injury issues or lifelong issues for people. I have never done the jump splits. Anybody who's done the jump splits, like, is it really just, should it go away? I'm gonna put that in my story. Do the jump splits need to, like, disappear? How about that? I want to hear from people who have done it game after game after game, people who've never tried it. Like, it makes me, it's so impressive. Like, when I went to the Dolphins game, I had no idea that they did the jump splits too, but I was like, hearing everybody around me lose their crap over it when it happened, like, it's so impressive. And I totally get it, but I feel like that kick line, everybody's waiting for that moment of the jump split. I don't think it's ever going to go away, but I'm going to put it in my thanks for the poll question. I'm going to put it in the poll to see what people think about it. I don't know from, like, a medical perspective if it's just a recipe for disaster. Regardless, anybody and everybody's going to eventually have injuries because of that. Doctors for Dancers, if you have an opinion on it, would love to hear it. Because we love it so much. If you aren't in our world, you won't truly understand how magical it is. It's so true. I don't think most fans would miss the jump splits. Okay, that's it. I'm putting it in the story. Y'all vote. Come to my Instagram. I want to see what dancers really truly think about getting rid of it. Like, is that something that we just, that's part of the brand where you're just like, no, this is something that we're going to do come hell or high water? Or is it something like, get rid of this for the love of God? Like, I want to hear from you guys. I've seen a lot of comments agreeing it should go after them doing it on the Today Show yesterday. Oh, I need to go watch that. I did see a clip. Well, not even a clip. I just saw a headline of them being on the Today Show. I definitely missed that. Did they do that just out there on the streets of New York doing a jump split? You know, doing that at performances on a stage, like, it's the one thing on turf, but doing it on stage, like, if you're in the show group or you're traveling or performing in an appearance and you're just doing it on any old surface, I don't think so. That's no, like, that always made me nervous watching our show group's performances when they're doing, you're dancing full out and you're doing all this stuff and you're actually, you know, it's not the same thing as a turf, and depending on what you're doing, sliding into the splits, even, like, you know, the surface matters, right? And we'll dance and we're professionals, we'll do it anywhere, but she said it looked like concrete, y'all. Oh my God. Okay, clutching my pearls. Just no. How about we do a modified version and we do not bust the splits on the freaking concrete? I'm gonna go watch that. When I post the episode, I'll put it a link to it so that people can look. But we gotta protect our bodies. It shouldn't be like you're just, like, just buckled over and having hip surgeries, and it just makes me nervous. So I'm going to put in the story to see what you guys think about letting it go or keeping it for nostalgia's sake. The other thing I'm going to ask y'all, and I'm going to leave with this, because I just had this thought as I was watching, like I said, fully appreciated the show and everything. But I'm almost wondering, especially because we're all a community, right? And we all have these teams that we're a part of that form this NFL sisterhood. I kind of just was kind of like, are we idolizing DCC a little, not, I wouldn't say too much, but just kind of like, there were times where I was like, this is feeling, I won't say cult-like, it's not that serious, but I was just wondering if our obsession with DCC is a little too, like, how do we get here where everybody's on this almost like cult-like obsession with DCC, and is it healthy? That's where I was left feeling at the end of the day. Like, I want to see more. I love these women. I think they're just amazing and fantastic, but I was kind of like looking at the comments, I think, was making me feel like, is this getting a little, what do you guys think? I don't want to make it too much, but I might put that in the poll too. Gotta run, but this was a conversation. So nice to see you. Let's catch up soon. I'm definitely reaching out to Doctors for Dancers, you guys. Let's talk about this on an episode. We have been chatting for an hour and 15 minutes. As much as I would love to be on TikTok and have like cute little 5-second little clips of the highlights, I don't know how to talk that fast. I love drinking wine with you guys and hearing from you. Thank you so much for joining. I will get this out and I'm going to provide links to that Today Show special. I'll put some polls in my story and continue to reach out to me. I definitely want to hear what people thought of the show. These are just my 2 cents, but I love chatting with you. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. All of the things. And a cool episode to come next week, you guys. I love talking to you, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I can't believe it's July. How do we get here? Enjoy. Talk to you guys later. Thank you so much for joining, YouTube land. Make sure I didn't forget anything. Yeah, I need to see this concrete action right now. I'm about to go look at it. Have a good night.
Thanks so much for listening to the Pro Cheerleading Podcast. You can follow your favorite podcast on social media at Pro Cheerleading Podcast on Instagram, at Pro Cheer Podcast on Twitter. We're on Facebook, on YouTube, and you can support your favorite podcast on Patreon. Until next time, keep your eyes on the sidelines.